From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, David, and welcome in, everyone, to Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padrone chatting with you. I'm glad you're listening into our program. Monday through Friday, we do our Bible studies. Then we come to the weekends, and we always have testimonies by someone. Maybe somebody's written a book that they'll be sharing about. Then we have some regulars on as well, a couple, and Pastor Bob Kadlecic is on with us today, doing a wonderful work with a multi-church campus, and we're so glad to have him on with us. And last week we were talking about the image of God, and we're going to continue today in that same frame about the image of God. And Pastor, last week we kind of ended up talking a little bit about race, so maybe just catch us up a little bit, and then we'll go on to a couple other questions about race before we go on to other matters.
Yeah, we were just talking about how Genesis 1:26 says that we are made in the image of God, male and female made in the image of God, Adam and Eve. Obviously, the beginners of the entire human race, there's one human race, and we are all equally made to be like God. And that's true in many different realms, including race. So that's kind of what we were talking about before, and some other implications about gender as well.
So what can we do when we talk about race here? What can we do practically to help live out the truth that all races equally reflect the image of God?
I think one of the things is to intentionally seek out and spend time with people that are different than you are. And even the idea of race is really a social construct. We say Asians, but if you're Japanese or Chinese or Korean, you wouldn't say you were Asian. Those are very important distinctions in their minds. And so I think just in general, we need to do that, to not be afraid of people who are different, and to not be lazy about it either, but to be intentional of forming friendships and spending time with people that are different than us. And I think the second thing that I think we could do that could help is obviously not to judge people on their outside appearances, but I think there's two arenas that are best at really helping determine whether we are struggling with seeing everyone as equally made in the image of God. And the one arena is marriage. Would you want your daughter marrying a man from another race? And I think that's a question that gets at the heart of, do I really see people as one race, as Genesis 1:26 through 28 says? Or do I have these subconscious, how I was raised, beliefs that really go contrary to the Word of God? And the second issue would be, would you be excited about having a pastor from another race lead your church? And I think those can get at, because often I don't know if I've met anyone recently who has said that they were racist, but I do remember, especially growing up, talking to some older people in our church who were just, I remember one grandma was just sobbing because her daughter was marrying a black man. And I said, is he a believer? And she looked at me like I had three heads and said, what does that matter? I thought, well, I don't know what's going on here. Even as a teenager, I didn't grow up like she did. I didn't have those things instilled in me, and I just thought it was crazy. But I think those are two test cases, because if you want to have a church that reflects your community, and your community includes other races, you need to have other races in leadership. And so I may not be the best person to talk about this, because Susquehanna County is 96% white, literally. Mm. I just looked it up. 2% Hispanic, 2% other. We do reflect our community, which is pretty non-diverse. But I know that wasn't your experience as a pastor. Maybe, Dina, you could talk about what is it like to pastor a church with multiple races and ethnicities and things along that line.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Bob. I pastored two churches, the Open Door Church of Chambersburg. The virtue of the name itself says it's open to anyone to come. Chambersburg is a very much a German-backed community, but there were a number of Hispanics there. There were a number of French-speaking people there. Afro-Americans were there. And so I think our church there, Pastor, reflected what that looked like. But the other church that I pastored was the New Testament Baptist Church. We call it the Gathering Place in South Florida. We had three campuses, two main campuses. When I say main, we owned them. One was in North Miami. One was in Western Fort Lauderdale. And the Miami campus, we counted one time, and there were 72 different people groups who attended that church. Now, the idea of a people group means that it's not an issue about color, but it's an issue about what your background was. And so we did a little study on that, and one of the studies concluded, first of all, the reason people came to our church was the gospel. It was the gospel that changed their lives, and if there's one thing that drew us together, it was the gospel. However, I would say this, other than the gospel and the teaching of the scripture, there was nothing that drew us together. They were not the same politically. They were not the same as far as food was concerned. We often had major church meals. People would bring different food. And there was food from all over the world that was sitting there for people to eat. So that happened as well. But the one thing that we learned was if we could understand people's culture, if we could understand something about their past, their background, we had people that came in from Cuba. They came on rafts, and they had a certain, politically, they were very conservative and very strong conservatives. There are others that were there from different parts of America that were not that way. And so if we can understand culture, if we can understand that whole idea, it was very helpful to us. But again, the two things that drew them together was the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, resurrection, and the whole idea that we can build relationships, and we learn that based upon the Word of God. I would go to Sunday school class meetings on weekends that various classes would have, Pastor, and it was interesting. One would have a totally different kind of a setup. They would have music, they would have some dancing, they have other things going on. Go to another class, none of that stuff was true. They did their thing in their smaller group, but in church we kind of all gathered together. So I always felt like that was a real picture of heaven. We had our challenges there, obviously, but it was a real blessing to see that many different people groups and being drawn together. My wife and I were greatly blessed by them. We learned so much from them about life. Going on beyond this with the racial issue, though, Pastor, we may want to think a little bit about, in the previous program, how we talked about how it's important and the important implications about sex and race. But what are some other ways in which we being made in God's image is important, and how does that help us to understand this whole concept of really getting along with one another?
Being made in the image of God not only means that everyone is equally valuable no matter their race or sex, but it also means they're valuable no matter how big they are, how old they are. And so that really comes into play when it comes to babies, even in the womb, and abortion. And even before talking about that, I want to mention John 1:14. It describes Jesus as, among other things, full of grace and truth. And those are not opposing virtues. Grace and truth don't get up and fight each other. They are complementary things. Mm. The truth is something that everyone needs, and everyone also needs grace. And that is really true when it comes to the subject of abortion, because I know many of our listeners, I know many in my church and many outside have chosen to abort their baby. And many times it's because nobody tells them what we're about to say. And that is that, you know what, that little baby is made in the image of God. In fact, Psalm 139, you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And we have a constant screaming and drumming and brainwashing in our society about babies in the womb. And it's often very incoherent. On the one hand, people are celebrating and pictures of ultrasounds, and you can actually be charged with a double homicide if you're an alcoholic in many states and you are in a car accident and kill the mom and her baby. It's a double homicide because the law recognizes that baby in the womb as a separate individual. Obviously, science recognizes that as well. I saw a headline recently. It just infuriated me because, again, these are real women and real men, too. Pregnancy always involves two people, and that are being hurt by these lies. But the headline said, is there a fetal heartbeat at 6 weeks pregnancy? The fetal heartbeat is medically inaccurate and misleading, experts say. And I read the article, and the article itself was medically inaccurate and incredibly misleading and lying. One of the things it said was the sound pregnant people hear during ultrasounds at 6 weeks is entirely manufactured by the ultrasound machine.
Hmm.
It's an electrical pulse that's translated into the sound we're hearing from the ultrasound machine. Well, you know what? What you're hearing right now over your radio is entirely manufactured by the speaker machines. It's an electrical pulse that's translated into the sound that you're hearing. That's how microphones and speakers work. But that doesn't mean I'm not speaking, and it doesn't mean I'm not real, and it doesn't mean the baby's heart is not beating. And so there are so many lies. You know, heard recently the word fetus. This is Latin for baby. And so if you were to ask a medical doctor even, what's the difference between a fetus and a baby? There is no biological medical difference. There is no scientific difference. We just, in order to impersonalize and objectify the baby in the womb, we call him or her something different that helps us do what we want to do. And again, I go back to there are few issues that bring more guilt than this one. And I just want our listeners to know that is not where God is. God does not want you to feel more guilty about your past or things that have happened. I'm not saying this to make anyone feel guilty. I'm saying this because almost no one else is. Truth is reality, and we need to tell people the truth with grace, because without the truth, people wind up hurting themselves, having regrets. Often it's not immediately afterward, but often years and even decades later. And we just need to recognize that God loves all people. He values all people. All people are made in the image of God. No matter how long they've been alive, no matter how little life is left, no matter how big they are.
So, Pastor, that's well said. What would you say to a listener right now who has had an abortion?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would say that God forgives. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so you need to say about yourself what God says of you. If you have asked him to forgive you, you are forgiven. You are cleansed. This is not held against you. This is not some unforgivable sin. And I think this would be a harder thing. But we have some women in our church that have been very brave in talking about their abortions. And I think that is so important because it's one of those issues. Bad things grow in the dark, and bringing things to light. Again, you may not be at this point. You may not have the strength to do that now. But I would think some who are listening maybe are at that point, and that can be incredibly helpful to others, because when we think we're alone, that's a bad place to be. In fact, I don't like scary movies, but one of the things, if ever I'm watching a scary movie, that happens all the time is there's this monster out there, or there's someone trying to kill them, and they're in this group and they decide to split up. And I yell at the screen, don't split up. Like, what are you thinking? He's going to pick you off one by one. You're safer together. And this is Satan's strategy for us. Make them think that they're the only ones in church. Mm. In fact, coming up this Sunday, I'm just going to mention, just we're celebrating our moms and women in the church. And I just want to mention that so that people know, we have over 30 children who are coming to our church right now in foster care or adopted that are under 20 years of age. And that's just in our Montrose campus. I don't even know, adding up the other campuses, how many there would be. And I do that because, you know, recently there's a new family and they got three, you know, adopted kids, and they have some special needs. And I know they wonder, you know, and are we the only ones? And that's so true. Even with abortion, you're not the only one. There's others who have been through this, and God has helped them through it. And there can be healing, and there is grace extended, and God still loves you.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron talking to you with Pastor Bob Kadlecek. And before we get off this topic, Pastor, it might be good to address briefly, what if a woman has been raped or is pregnant as a result of incest?
Well, and this is where, you know, the American population, at least, the majority of people, at least at this point in our society, are against abortion for any and every reason. But there's a pretty sizable majority that would say abortion is allowed in the case of rape and incest. And this is where it's important to recognize that morality is not determined democratically. There was a time in history when, of course, most people thought slavery was a good idea, and that doesn't mean it was. I certainly don't understand the trauma of rape. I know men who have been raped, definitely many, many women who have been raped, but I personally have not. And incest as well, maybe the worst form of rape. But you go to the Old Testament, and one of the things they talk about there is you don't punish the child for the sins of the father. And we live in a society that says you can't kill the rapist. You must let the rapist who's done the crime live, but you can kill his innocent child. And that is not, that's not the way God wants it. Everyone is made in the image of God. In fact, we used to have terms, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on air, but the term for an illegitimate son is a swear word. Mm-hmm. Because there was such a stigma to that. And yet God loves illegitimate children. Mm-hmm. They're just as much in the image of God as anyone else. And I have read and talked to women who have been raped who say, you know what, I don't take this child away. That was a terrible traumatic event. And the fact is that God could bring this beautiful, innocent, wonderful life out of that. That makes all that trauma I went through have meaning for me. And so what I think we need to do with those who have been through this is to walk with them all the way. And that's one of the accusations made against Christians is, oh, you only care about the baby, you don't care about the mom. And that is so untrue. There are so many pregnancy resource centers all across America, started by churches, funded by local churches. Our church gives tens of thousands of dollars every year to CareNet, to Life Choices Center, up in the Broome County area. You know, we love the mom and the baby, and we love the dad too. And in the cases of rape and incest, I think you need to punish the dad. You need to, serious consequences, but don't punish the baby, and just rally around that mom and help her through that.
Yeah, it's well said, Pastor. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padrone chatting with you. Our theme has been the image of God last week and this week. And again, we have about 3 minutes to go here, Pastor. Not only does the image of God affect beginning of life issues, but it affects end of life issues as well. So what does Genesis 1:28 mean for euthanasia and people who are terminally ill?
Well, in some ways, I'm glad we don't have much time because this one's a lot more complicated. I would just say there's a difference between passively letting God shut the body down and pushing God out of the way and say, I'm going to do it myself. And last year, 3% of all deaths in Canada were by government-employed doctors killing their patient. And there's these laws now that say if you're terminally ill, you can elect to have your doctor kill you. The problem is, what does terminally mean? I mean, there was a wonderful woman in our church, and Dina, you probably have stories like this too. Eileen Snow, she was diagnosed stage 4 terminal cancer. Get your life in order. The elders, we went to her home. We prayed over her. She lived for 20 more years. So she was terminal for 20 years. Yeah. I mean, I'm terminal, if you wanted to define it that way. And what does ill mean? I mean, now you have cases where women struggling with anorexia, they're mentally ill. Men and women struggling with depression are being killed. If someone is mentally ill, you don't kill them because they want you to. It's just so wrong. I think the right to die very quickly becomes the duty to die. I'm going to save my family money, and I don't want them to waste money on me. And so I think we need to value all life like God does, no matter how short and no matter how hard, and to leave the deciding of when it's time for me to go in God's hands. I knew a man recently, and he just refused to drink. He had just decided he had terminal cancer. He had fallen. He clearly was not ever going to get out of bed again. And he just decided to stop drinking water. If you know, that's different than a doctor deciding I'm going to put poison in an IV and kill this guy. We should not actively end someone's life, but there's a difference between doing that and passively letting God shut the body down, just the way that he has designed it.
This has been two excellent weeks as we have taken, Pastor, some of the top topics. You could go to a newspaper and read a lot about these topics, and we've taken a good, solid biblical approach to them, and I appreciate you coming on as you do on a regular basis here with Life Change Weekend and spend this time with us. It's been just great last week and again today. Again, I want to remind you that you're listening into Life Change Weekend. Our Bible study is every Monday through Friday. And we encourage you to listen to our various programs. Make sure you're on our mailing list. If you aren't, simply send me your email or your postal address to Dino Padrone, that's DINOPEDRONE at gmail.com. Much happening in our ministry, including the opening of an online college, just a number of things taking place right now. And we would be more than glad to get you on our mailing list so you can get up-to-date information, all this information. Bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much. And tomorrow at church, you rejoice in the Lord wherever you're going and hearing the Word of God.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padrone Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to Dino Padrone, dinopadroneministries@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.